You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your life and your business today. I'm really excited for today's guest, Dr. Moore. She is the medical director of Core Wellness Clinic in Portland, Oregon, where she specializes in the natural pain solutions and regenerative injection therapies to treat a variety of musculoskeletal conditions. We're going to get into a little bit more depth what all that is. As both a board-certified naturopathic and chiropractic physician, she brings a unique perspective and expertise to the diagnosis and treatment of pain and orthopedic conditions. She practices exclusively regenerative injection therapies and non-surgical pain management for orthopedic and musculoskeletal conditions. Throughout her professional career, Dr. Moore has focused on pain management and pain and musculoskeletal conditions. She's uniquely qualified to quickly diagnose and treat orthopedic ailments using a variety of regenerative non-surgical techniques as she strives to utilize the most advanced and effective treatments available today to assist her patients in achieving their own level of optimal health and performance. She also teaches regenerative medicine around the world and educates physicians on its benefits. Dr. Moore, welcome to Making Bank. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited that we got to connect. You tried to connect with me at Bulletproof, and it didn't happen. So,
quite busy, but we're excited to have you on the show today and just be able to really learn and understand what you have going on and what you're doing. And I guess I'd like to find out a little bit of your background and kind of what took you down the path to where you are today. Because there's so many times we get hurt, we get injured, and we go to the doctor, and the first thing that they want to do is just, hey, you know, I tore my MCL or ACL or ligaments in my foot or whatever it may be. And, you know, surgery is kind of that next step. And, you know, so hearing what you have going on and what you're doing is really exciting. So give us a little bit about your background and how you got into all this.
So I basically came about this in a backwards way. I was a really sick kid and I had always gone to see different physicians. My mom was always hauling me off to specialists and I was never getting any good answers. And I think that the chiropractors in my life were the ones who really answered my questions, gave me the best care along the way. And then somewhere right after college, I ended up discovering naturopathic medicine. I had never heard of it before. Do you guys have that where you are? Do you have naturopathic physicians?
We do. And actually, one of my good friends I went to school with, and I lost touch for years, and I come back, is a physician, naturopathic doctor or whatever. So, and that's how we kind of live and where we take our kids too. So
great. So I was introduced to a gentleman named Rick Marinelli, and he is now deceased. I've actually taken over his practice. He was my mentor and dear friend for decades. He brought regenerative injection therapies to the naturopathic profession probably 30 years ago. And I was lucky enough to work under him. I started as his receptionist and I was his assistant and on it went. So he mentored me up and he taught me. I have since, were you able to connect with Harry Adelson at Bulletproof? Did you speak with him at all?
I did not. No, I tried to connect, but just never were able to sync up.
He was the guy mainly speaking about stem cells at Bulletproof, and he also was mentored up by Rick Marinelli. So he and I are very good friends. He's like my brother, and he's taught me quite a bit of what I know. So I do regenerative injections predominantly in my practice, so prolotherapy, platelet-rich plasma, and stem cell injections. The other piece of the puzzle, though, and I think where we can probably touch on today is just what do those treatments do? How do they work? And why do they work best when somebody's healthy? You're using your own cells and you're using your own immune system to mount an inflammatory healing response. And none of that happens if you're not healthy. If you're not eating well and moving well and sleeping well and doing all of the things to really prime your stem cells and get your growth factors going, these treatments aren't very effective. It's not like you roll in, get something done to you, and then you know, you're on your way. People don't get great results that way. And so really just priming the person, making them strong, getting them healthy. That's where my focus is, particularly online, the work I'm doing online.
I guess with regenerative, you know, therapy and everything, and that's utilizing the stem cells and the platelet-rich PRP, I guess, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easier. It's less of a tongue twister.
And the only reason I kind of know what it is from the little bit of the research I've done lately. So, I guess, tell us a little bit, you know, I said, you know, you got to be healthy, and it's not just one of those magical injection cures that just does it automatically and stuff. So tell us a little bit about what you mean by that.
Well, there's the fact people like to think of things in really reductionistic terms. So we're going to treat this ligament in this ankle, or we're going to treat this shoulder joint or this knee, and we're going to inject something into it that's going to cause a regenerative healing response. So that's the basic, simple way to look at it. However, that's not entirely how it works. A huge part of it is how your body signals. So you have cell signaling, and everything works together like an orchestra. So if you inject something into a joint, those cells that you put in there will definitely, hopefully some of them will take root and start to heal the tissues. But the other piece, the big piece of the puzzle, is cell signaling. What's happening inside there? What's the environmental change inside that joint? How did you change the pH? How did you change? Did you call in the troops? Basically, did you call in the troops? It's calling in the troops to heal the joint. Stem cells don't do a whole lot if the milieu is not healthy. If the microenvironment is not healthy, if the overall environment of the patient is not healthy, they don't do well. In fact, in obese patients, most of your stem cells in your bone marrow are not working.
Wow.
So
okay.
To take them out of bone marrow and to take them out of your fat and try to use them and hope that something will happen, if you're diabetic, if your blood sugar's off, if you're obese, your cells kind of, they're not functioning as optimally as they could otherwise.
Sure.
Is the long story. So it's not just about what we're injecting. Everybody gets hung up on the solution that's in the syringe, but a lot of it is the cell signaling and how your body responds to those changes that were just made. The needle itself counts. The needle itself causes microtrauma. And so we pour around those ligaments and joints to try to get blood flow to come in. It's not just about what's in that syringe. A lot of it's the technique, and a lot of it is the person's overall health. So that's where I harp on. You know, people say, oh, I had PRP, it didn't work. I had stem cells and it didn't work. It's like, well, your stem cells and my stem cells are totally different beasts because you're male and you have more muscle mass. And you've
right.
got a lot of other, you know what I mean? And I've got estrogen on board. And so all of those things have an effect. Your gut health, your sleep patterns, et cetera.
And so what do you guys look for? I guess what's that ideal client that you see that it's most effective in, I guess, how's that nutrition, the sleep, the, you know, the hormonal levels, all that sort of thing. And then, you know, I guess, what do you look for to really make sure, like, hey, we know this person based on experience, these are the results that we're pretty sure that we're going to have happen.
I look for somebody who is strength training, because if they're strength training, they are usually well hydrated. They are usually feeding themselves adequate protein. They are usually sleeping appropriately. They're usually doing all of the things that I need patients to do to heal. Anything that I need someone to do to actually move towards healing, people who strength train are already doing, because, well, you look like you strength train. You do something to build muscle.
I've been doing CrossFit since like 2003, so it's and owned a few gyms for a while, so it.
You get it. You understand.
Yep. Yes.
If you're not doing all of those things, you don't get any gains, and you hurt yourself, and you don't heal, right?
Right. Oh yeah, for sure.
So I really go for somebody who's strength training one. I've closed my practice to new patients, and I'm only accepting patients through referrals from strength and conditioning coaches, PTs who strength, pretty much anyone who strength trains is sending me patients, and I'll accept them in. But that's a huge hurdle for me to get patients better. They want to spend thousands of dollars on these expensive treatments, but they have no glutes.
Right.
Or they have no musculature around their shoulder. It's like, I can't put your labrum and your rotator cuff back together if there's nothing to hold that appendage onto your body.
Sure.
So trying to get them healed up and then strength training has been such a hurdle for me that I really am just accepting patients at this point that are already fairly like you. It's like, hey, I rolled my ankle. Can you fix me up? Or
right.
I hurt my back deadlifting. Can you fix me up? And those people heal like this. And we can move forward with the treatment. I personally don't think it's entirely ethical to be treating people with really expensive treatments that aren't going to take. Not to say that the variety of people out there can't use it. You just, the expectations need to be different. I get very different results from somebody who's got quite a bit of adipose tissue on them, who's very deconditioned. And it's, you know, and granted, they're probably that way because they hurt their knee 20 years ago and they've been hobbling around on it, you know, and that's really what started this whole thing. And I do have a lot of empathy for that. However, I feel like if you're going to throw down the big bucks, finding somebody who's eating well, sleeping well, drinking water well, doing all those things that you're supposed to do so you don't crash and burn in the gym.
So the, kind of from a health standpoint, then we have, you know, somebody that's active, you know, from a fitness and strength standpoint, as well as, you know, what do you look for, I guess, from a nutritional standpoint? Is it, I mean, do that be paleo or more ketogenic or vegan, or what's kind of that best fit for this process?
I won't even accept vegan patients anymore, and I hope I don't upset anyone, but they don't heal. If I can get them on some kind of collagen product, it's an animal-based collagen product, we do get better results. But vegan patients, sometimes just getting them on a collagen product makes all their joint pain go away. So one of my mentors said a long time ago, if you don't eat collagen, you can't produce collagen. And the whole point of all of these treatments is collagen production. At the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, right? Trying to build cartilage and ligaments and tendons. So I look for somebody who's got an adequate protein intake, which is hard, you know, especially for women. We've kind of been, most of us have been taught to self-starve our whole lives. And so getting adequate protein is hard, but that makes all the difference in the world. Low inflammation. So kind of a modified paleo. I love ketogenic diets. I do think carbohydrates are awesome and they have their time and place, but I do love somebody who's in a ketogenic, living a ketogenic lifestyle, those people heal. All their hormones are optimized, you know, their testosterone's up, everything's good. And I could like throw a dart at them and they would start to heal.
It's like that superhero skin, you know, it's like,
it's true. And I always say, the one thing I found from lifting weights, it makes you so much harder to kill. You're so much denser. And, you know, I used to be so scrawny and anorexic, honestly. And I felt like if I were to fall, I'd shatter. I mean, that's how I felt. I was so lean. And now you know, I feel like I could get bumped by a car and I'd be like, well, I might screw myself up a little, but I'll be all right.
That's awesome. Can you stick around for a minute? We got to take a quick break.
Sure.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber. Today is an honor. We have Dr. Moore on Making Bank, learning about how we can heal and keep our bodies working at optimal performance and just being able to be healthy and live our lives. So many times we get injured, whether we tweak a knee or a foot or a shoulder, an elbow or something, and then we just put it off and put it off, and maybe we needed surgery, maybe we didn't, but we just never ever get that fixed, and our bodies can then never start to naturally heal, and then other issues within our body start to occur, maybe neck pain, back pain, whatever it may be. And then as the further along we go down that spiral, other things throughout our life are affected mentally, physically, and everything. So what Dr. Moore has taken the reins of and continued the practice on is being able to heal your body through regenerative injections and medicine, or I guess non-medical type processes to help you feel better and live a better and happier, healthier life. So welcome back to the show, and I'm excited for you today.
Thank you. Yeah, so you hit on a really good point. I call it regenerative medicine because it entails everything. It's not just go get the treatment and go home. It's not just go get your PRP and go home. It's, you know, it's all the things we were talking about. It's regenerative medicine to me is living a lifestyle where you are. It's, some people call it anti-aging. I mean, whatever term you want to put on it, it's just the idea that you're trying to keep your cellular turnover healthy and functional. And you're trying to keep things moving forward instead of living in this sort of oxidized, degrading, aging state. You know, I'm just, maybe it's vanity. I always say patients are motivated by two things, pain and vanity.
Yeah, for sure.
It's true. And when you get their pain under control, they start to recognize themselves a little bit better and they feel better. But like you said, it takes one good injury, and sometimes that'll derail people really severely. And I want to blame the medical system at large, because the first answer for them is go home and rest it, take some NSAIDs, which completely inhibit healing, by the way. If you take NSAIDs the first few days of your injury, you're completely derailing all collagen production for the next 300 days. It's a nightmare. And then, you know, oh, if that doesn't work, let's put cortisone in it. which is catabolic. It chews up your tissues. It actually disintegrates and melts your tissues. And then if that doesn't work, maybe you get to go to a PT, and that's brilliant. I think that that's the relationship I have the strongest, the group I have the strongest relationship with is PTs, because they get people moving again, which is overcoming that fear. And then, you know, if that doesn't work, oh, you're off to surgery. And we have an old saying in orthopedic medicine, surgery begets more surgery. So once you're on that path, it's like, welcome to the jungle, you know? So I think that being able to intervene in that gray zone is critical.
It makes total sense. And I think we tend to look for those quick fixes, you know, like you said, that NSAIDs and the different things like that. So one of the questions, since we were talking about nutrition, I wanted to ask you about, what's your thoughts on the whole intermittent fasting and everything too? I just read a study, and it might have been from Bulletproof the other, or they didn't do the study, but pushed out the article. And it talked about intermittent fasting and how by fasting for 72 hours, you're kind of resetting and restarting that, activating that stem cell process of rebuilding. I mean, Do you kind of flow along with that whole theory? And
I do. You know, I have been fasting my whole life without even knowing it. I didn't even know it was a thing. I just never ate breakfast because I didn't want to. And my whole life, everyone, you have to eat breakfast. I'm like, I don't really want to. But I think that, it does. It sort of resets that stem cell. I mean, in simple terms, it kicks things up. I think it's the idea also of hormesis. I really love, that's the other reason I love strength training. Are you familiar with hormesis?
Let's dive into a little bit so everybody understands.
It's the idea that if you stress an organism a little bit, it will respond in turn by thriving. So I always use the example of a plant. You know, like I'm really bad watering my plants. You water them and you don't water them and they start to kind of droop, and then you hit them with a good thing of water. They really green up and leaf up. So that's hormesis. So a small stressor on an organism, particularly a mammal, the mammal will respond in favor with actually beneficial outcomes. So you'll get a hormone release, you'll get a neurotransmitter release, you'll get a stem cell release. And so I think intermittent fasting is just a little bit of that stressor on the body, and then the body responds in favor, in a favorable fashion, by, you know, having good things happen. Same thing with strength training, right? You put a neural load, you put that neural heavy load on the body, and then you rest it. Right. And then the magic is in the rest. And that's how, you know, if you just keep training, you get nowhere. But if you rest the body, then all of a sudden you're like, holy smokes, my hormones are good, I feel good, my neurotransmitter, I'm happy, I'm not anxious. And my boyfriend is a Dr. David Harrell. He's a world-renowned stem cell researcher, and he totally agrees with me. Like, we just geek out and run these ideas by each other. He's like, you're spot on. Like, you got it. That's what's happening. So the other piece, I think, that is important to note, though, is just that women tend to not be able to intermittent fast as long as men because of our hormones.
Okay.
A little more sensitive. So I think calling it at like 10 to 12 hours for women is, and women, I think, do need a little bit more of the carbohydrate intake. So just something for your listeners to go explore and research a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's
because
definitely interesting.
To be able to handle it longer. Yeah, and I just see women kind of tank out. You know, I see women go into ketosis, and then I see them 6 months, 9 months, 12 months later, and like their thyroid's tanking out and their adrenals are tanking out. And I think they're trying to do it the way that their husband is doing it, or a boyfriend. And it's like, men and women are different beasts. So,
yeah, don't duplicate the same thing, especially if it's not working well.
Yeah.
You know, one curious thing is, you know, with regenerative injections, I mean, what are the best areas to treat, or I guess, where do you guys find the most success?
Pretty much anywhere.
Okay.
So Harry Adelson is injecting discs. He's actually injecting intervertebral discs. He does an amazing job. For the really complicated cases, they go to Harry Adelson. I really love working with strength and conditioning people. So I see a lot of extremities, a lot of spine, a lot of low back, a lot of sacroiliac joints. So it's stuff that we would ding up, you know, doing deadlifts and squats. Shoulders are great. I think giving somebody their shoulder back is probably one of my favorite things in the world. Knees, hips are a little persnickety. They take longer to respond, but boy, can you stave off a hip replacement surgery? You really can if you get somebody early enough. The key is early enough. The key is not wait until the wheels have completely fallen off the car, you've had four rounds of cortisone, and you've let it go 10 years.
Right.
The key is to come in when you're like, you know, I've had my chiropractor and my PT work on this, and I'm just not quite getting the results I'm used to. Let's go see, you know, Dr. Moore and see what she can do. And those are my favorite cases. Those are the people that get better fast. They don't have to spend a lot of money, and it's worth every penny, you know?
So say you're injured, and then what is it, something you have to go in and do right away? What happens if, you know, say you're healthy and everything, and you know, you don't go get any of the injections or any other junk, but a year later, so you're like, oh man, I really want to be able to have my shoulder back or whatever. Right. I mean, is there a time frame where it works better than others, or is it just say, hey, you come in and you know it'll still work at this point?
That's a great question. I think anytime after the 4 to 6 week mark. So if you get injured, I always tell people, and I do the same thing when I get injured, I start pounding collagen, I start increasing my protein, eating lots of healthy fats, resting the area. I heat it. I don't ice it. I heat it because I want cellular input. I don't want to detract from the healing cascade. And I think 4 to 6 weeks, that's my favorite spot to treat people. I'll treat people sooner than that if some people demand it, which I think is silly because it's a very painful procedure for them in that case. And some athletes, professional athletes, need to get back on the field faster. So I'll treat them sooner. But I think 4 to 6 weeks, because if you're doing all the good stuff, your body will do a really nice job in that 4 to 6 week period. And then we just clean it up.
Okay.
If you really stay away from the NSAIDs and do all those things, alternating hot and cold, all the things I love, and I have information on my website, get that healing cascade going 4 to 6 weeks. Then we hit you with something and then we treat you. Usually it's whatever we're doing aside from stem cells, I always tell people to expect 2 to 3 rounds.
Okay.
And that's when we get the best results. With stem cells, I usually need to do 1 round and I might need to clean them up with some PRP at the end or on the front end. Kind of depends on the case, but yeah, giving yourself a good month to 6 weeks, just, you know, taking good care of yourself. I think that gives me a much, when someone comes in 2 weeks post injury, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. This is a complete crapshoot right now. You need to just chill and rest and heal and, you know, get yourself healed up, keep moving. And you know this as well as a CrossFitter. I love people who like wrestler, anyone who strength trains. I love them for the fact that they rehab themselves the best.
Yeah.
Because what do you do when you hurt your back? You go back to the gym, you still squat, you just deload, right?
Right.
You just deload, you keep the movement patterns going, and those people heal really brilliantly. So doing that kind of thing in between safely, you need to do it under the guise of a professional or have enough knowledge to do it safely. And then we hit you with some good stuff, and usually people are healed right up. So,
well, I guess what kind of, you know, you get the injections and everything. What's kind of that time frame then to, you know, look for that to be back to 100%?
I don't know if I can always get people back to 100%. Some people I do, some people I don't.
95.
I'm looking for 90. I'm looking for
90%.
A good pain reduction.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you hurt yourself so bad that you're just changed. It's kind of like having a baby. You're never the same, you know, so the body changes, but I tell people first treatment 6 to 8 weeks later, say, let's use platelet-rich plasma as an example. I treat you one time, I treat you 6 to 8 weeks later, and then that third treatment somewhere 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
And in between, you've got to take 2 weeks off after each injection. Personally, that's what I say. A lot of different doctors say different things. I personally believe 2 weeks, and that's from personal experience because I get treated and then I'm like, oh, 7 days later, I'm like, I can deadlift, I'll be fine. It's not fine. You gotta wait 2 weeks, ease into it the third week, and then you're good to go. And so after those 3 rounds, and that takes, you know, several months to complete that cycle, after 3 rounds, people are so good. So good. The testimonials I get, people are just so, so happy and so able to, this one guy said, he very fit guy came in the other day. He was told that it was discs and he needed to have surgery and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't his discs. It was his iliolumbar ligament down in his SI joint.
Right.
And he told me he hadn't been able to deadlift for years and he's deadlifting 300 pounds, no problem, after one treatment.
Wow.
So, so we're going to do 3, but I mean, that's a great example of somebody who came into it fit, had great results. And I can pretty much tell with certainty when somebody's fit, I can give them a pretty good prognosis.
And
so
then
it's good stuff.
And then do you guys treat, say, multiple areas at the same time, or, you know, you just sticks to one specific area?
I will. I kind of have a thing where we do our own manual PRP prep. And so I will treat as many regions as I can with the amount of PRP I have.
Okay.
So if they're very well hydrated and I get a lot of product, I'm happy to, you know, and I include that all in one price. Everybody prices it different. I will say in the world of PRP, there are some ridiculous price points out there. There are orthopedic docs out there charging enormous amounts of money, and it's ridiculous. It's robbery. My prices are all clearly listed on my website. Now, when it comes to stem cells, that's the same thing. You get docs charging ridiculous amounts of money, and yeah, it's a pretty penny for sure, but it's no more than your deductible would be if you went to have surgery.
Right.
There's really no downtime afterwards. You're walking around. You walk out of the office.
Sure.
And you're back to activity in 3 weeks. It's a whole different story than having a surgery. You can't undo surgery.
And so, and that gives me a question. So I guess, how do you guys get the stem cells?
Right. There's two ways. Well, there's a lot of different processing ways once you get them out of the body. But one of the richest sources of stem cells is in the adipose tissue, particularly the abdomen.
Okay.
So abdominal fat. We do a lipoaspiration here in the office. It's a sterile procedure, but it's very simple and strangely quite painless for most people.
Okay.
There's not a lot of nerves in the fat. So if you've got enough fat on you, it's a pretty painless procedure. And then we take them in the lab and we process them a certain way. There's varying ways to do it. Some people are doing it in ways that it's not frowned upon, but it's the FDA is kind of keeping a sharp watch on adipose right now. So I try to minimally process the cells once I have them. And other people are doing a little bit more extraction of the stem cells. The second route is bone marrow, and we take it right out of the PSIS, which is the right at the top of the SI joint.
Right.
And that's actually pretty comfortable for people as well. It's an in-office procedure, and that is not as rich in stem cells, but it is the type of cell. It's a stem cell that more readily wants to turn into orthopedic tissues.
Okay.
So it's a lot of, like, Dr. Adelson's doing some really cool work. He's mixing PRP, or I'm sorry, he's not using as much PRP anymore. He's mixing the bone marrow aspirate and the adipose together and then injecting that. So some people are doing that. I just do adipose with PRP. I don't do bone marrow here. It's a gray zone with my board, so I don't mess with it. But yeah, I mean, some doctors swear by bone marrow aspirate. Some swear by adipose. My boyfriend can break it down better than I can because he's got all the studies memorized.
Right, he's all in it. Yeah,
so he can tell you joint by joint specifically. But yeah, I mean, the results are remarkable when you use the body to heal itself. And I don't think the FDA is entirely thrilled that we're in big pharma. You know,
right.
There's no money in it because there's no pharmaceutical investment. It's your own cells. And right now I think we really need to be fighting for the ability to use our own cells.
Right.
It's becoming a question with the FDA, and people don't realize, I mean, if they take away that privilege, that's a problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you got to be able to heal naturally for sure.
Yeah.
So I know you mentioned some people are using one method over the other for the stem cells. I mean, is there, and maybe the back hip area SI is better for orthopedic. But I mean, are you seeing the same results with both? Is it more preference? Is it, one way better than the other?
I think it's preference, and different doctors will make different arguments. But from all of my friends who are doing it, all of my colleagues, they will prefer one over the other for specific regions. I've just used adipose with amazing results.
Okay.
And it's been remarkable. I mean, I've seen patients who are headed for surgery, and I'm always the patient's last stop. They always come to me with some horrific story, and they say, well, I'm, this, this, and this. I'm like, welcome to the club. Everybody who walks in here, last stop. Everyone, they've done everything else, and this is their last stop effort. And the adipose results have been remarkable, but I will say, you get a healthy patient in front of you, platelet-rich plasma done appropriately is remarkable. So people always want the fancy, fancy Cadillac, but there is something to driving a Mercedes. You know, there's platelet-rich plasma applied correctly in a prolotherapy fashion, meaning you hit all of the ligaments and tendons. It's all about how it's delivered. It's not just about getting it in the joint. You got to treat the whole joint. And I have more on my website about that. And then the price point is better. It's more affordable for people. It's more accessible for people. And the results are amazing if you're a healthy individual.
No,
so I love PRP.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that's exciting. I mean, and it's great that there's multiple options for that. Where can people find out about you? I know you said you had a lot of information on your website. And then I guess, do they go there to kind of help determine, hey, am I a good fit for this?
I think so. What I really try to do with my website, and what I'm doing also, I just started Dr. Harrell and I just started the Institute for Integrative Regenerative Medicine. And what we want to do is not only educate physicians on this information that I'm talking to you about in depth.
Sure.
Because a lot of docs don't realize, like, wait, I just treated this person. Why didn't it work? But they, you know, that doctor's drinking Mountain Dew themselves. Like, they don't get.
Right.
No disrespect, but I mean, I run into this a lot. I'm like, come on, guys, we have to lead a healthy lifestyle in order to get healthy outcomes in our patients. And so getting, breaking that down, but also for patient education, patients really should be armed with the knowledge. And so I've got a lot of good information at drtina.com. It's drtyna.com. And they can read up there. If they're looking for a doctor in their area, they can go to getprolo.com. And those are usually great doctors on that site that might be regional to them. And then the IIRM that we're launching soon will have a ton of patient education on it. I want patients to walk in with a checklist to ask their doctor, like, well, does my diet matter? What, you know, do these outcomes matter? Because I want patients to get great outcomes. If they don't, what happens is everyone says, oh, stem cells and PRP doesn't work. It's like, no, the patient we used it on, it didn't work. So really just trying to homogenize to some degree and get some standards down in the industry is my big goal right now, because I want people to get great outcomes and I want physicians to get great outcomes and I want everyone to be safe about it. So if I can help with that at all, that's what I'm aiming for.
And now that's great. I mean, it's, I think we need more people proactively, you know, holding, you know, bringing this to the market and getting it in front of people. 'Cause unless you really, you kind of hear about it, but then you're like, man, is it really happening? Is it not? And for me, I went and actually had a research, and fortunately I knew a few people to start asking some of the right questions to make sure, hey, yeah, this is legit, and, you know, and head down the right path with it and everything. So where can, I guess, tell me one device that you can't live without first.
One device I can't live without. My damn iPhone. this damn thing. It's like a dopamine addiction.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that we can walk around with a computer in our pocket, you know?
It's crazy anymore.
Are you in your 30s, 40s? How old are you?
43, yes.
Yeah, me too. So I'm the same age. I mean, do you remember those, like, giant boxes?
Oh, I had
we
the
were
big box one. Yeah.
My iPhone. I love my iPhone. And I love my wireless headphones when I work out at the gym.
Cool. And then just if there's any insight or anything you want to leave people with here before we wrap up.
Yeah. You know, I think more than ever with what's going on with the election and with GMOs and with, you know, the laws that are being thrown around on mandatory vaccinations, I think more than ever, people just understanding that they have got to take responsibility for their own health. The days of doctors applying a passive treatment to a patient are over. We're being poisoned in our food supply, and people need to take action and actually take care of themselves, you know, make your political decisions with your dollars and how you shop and what you choose to buy and how you choose to feed yourself and your family. I think that's the most important. And if people want more of this kind of thing, I've got a great newsletter I put out every week, and they can go to my website at drtina.com and sign up there. And I try to give tips and tidbits every single week. Some more in depth, and some are just, you know, light tidbits on how to keep yourself healthy, but really just taking matters into your own hands. I think that's the key. That's what I'd like to leave listeners with.
Awesome. It's been an honor to have you on the show today and just really learning, and hopefully, you know, with our audience and more people that watch the show, whether it's on Apple TV or iTunes or whatever, you understand and really take a hard look at, you know, what we're talking about and how there's alternatives out there than just traditional medicine to help them live a better life and feel better and healthy. So it was an honor to have you here today on Making Bank, and I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I got to be here.
And so we'll have a link right here next to the video, and so people can click on your link to go check out your website and everything.
Awesome. Thank you. Yay.
Right.
Well, that was fun.
I am Josh Felber. You've been watching Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1%. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.